Welcome, everyone, to Good Night and Good Game, your source for geek news for the week that was. I'm your host, James, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Hector.
Hello.
This week on the show, we are finally getting into our spoiler-filled talk about the Ahsoka series. But before we start, don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg, where as a patron of our show, you can suggest topics for us to talk about. Also, as a patron, you get access to our off-week episodes. With almost everything wrapped up with martial arts, Hector's going to come over, and we're going to do a whole bunch of horror-themed episodes, so
yeah.
Get ready to have a whole bunch of horror stuff up on our Patreon soon. And with all that out of the way, it is time for The Prelude.
Prelude.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Prelude. It is time to dive into what we've been up to this week, what we've been playing, what we've been watching, what's been occupying our free time, and what has been making us happy. Hector, I know you got some things.
Oh yeah, I got a couple things. If I didn't mention it last time, which I probably did, I'm playing through Cyberpunk right now, and it's very, very good. Now, this is the 2 weeks ago thing. Playing through Cyberpunk, enjoying my time with it. It's a very big game. I'm loving every second of it. And then last Friday happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man came out.
Spider-Man.
So for the last week, I've been playing Spider-Man. That's been my thing.
Lots of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I had a 3-day weekend this weekend. I did all Spider-Man. Whole thing. It was eat, drink, sleep, Spider-Man.
All I did too.
Yeah. Absolutely wonderful game. I do have one thing to mention. I started watching, two things. James might mention the other one. I've watched Fall of the House of Usher. I'm only a couple episodes in, but I'm loving every second of it.
It is so good.
It's very good. But I wanted to specifically mention Captain Laserhawk. Is another excellent anime video game adaptation.
Adjacent.
that is on Netflix. And I can't tell you enough how fucking funny and awesome this show is. It's just like, if you played Blood Dragon, which is a Far Cry offshoot, an offshoot of Far Cry 3 specifically. It's a game called Blood Dragon. If you're not familiar with it, they decided to take the world of Far Cry 3 and make it incredibly like future retro 80s themed, all synthwave and like fucking cyberpunk and neon purple and cyan, magenta, yellow. Like, it is to the nines. And it's a very funny game, and it's a very fun game, and it's short and sweet and to the point.
Yep.
This anime is taken from that world, so it is incredibly 80s. Think like Moonbeam City 80s. Like, the future is the 80s, and it's also cyberpunk somehow. I can't, there are so many great jokes I can't even pick out, like the one that really set me off. The first episode alone has like 50 jokes that made me belly laugh in it. Like, I never stopped. Absolutely relentless. You see all kinds of cameos from other Ubisoft game characters like Rayman or
that's so weird, yeah, man.
Pagan Min from Far Cry 4. A frog in an assassin's outfit from Assassin's Creed. it's all great shit. It's a ton of fun, and it's short and sweet and to the point. You'll be in and out in like 10 episodes of a 20-minute show. Watch it.
Yeah,
watch it. It's fucking excellent. And if this at all sounds cool to you, Captain Laserhawk.
Yeah.
There's more to the title, but it's Captain Laserhawk. If you just search Laserhawk on Netflix, you'll find it immediately. Because there's nothing else named that.
Yeah.
Can't recommend it enough. That is my big recommend for the week. If it wasn't Spider-Man.
If it wasn't for Spider-Man.
So, yeah.
Spider-Man 2, the game that got me through a 3-day weekend. Spider-Man 2, the game that I stayed up past my bedtime on a school night. Last night, yep. Because I was right at the end, and I'm like, well, I need to roll credits on this game, so I'm just going to stay up later than I should. I'm an adult. I can do these things.
Yep.
I am now suffering the repercussions of the things that I have done. That being said, Spider-Man 2, fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great. Loved it. Like, we will at some point do a spoiler cast about Spider-Man 2 because it was just that good and that worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, like, I don't remember if I mentioned last time, but I watched Castlevania Nocturne.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Super,
it's more
super
Castlevania.
Good.
It's on Netflix. It's just, Netflix is killing it with the animation game.
And specifically anime adaptations of video games. There's no one else in the game doing it a tenth as good.
Yeah. And other than that, follow The House of Usher. I started it. I am about 5 episodes into it. It is Mike Flanagan. We're going to talk about more about him later. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's everybody that's ever been in a Mike Flanagan movie all together.
And just, Mark Hamill.
Yeah, and Mark Hamill. And they're doing Edgar Allan Poe. And yep. It's great. It's just great fucking TV. It is spooky season. You are doing yourself a disservice if you are not watching The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. And that's everything that we have for The Prelude. Stick with us as we get into this week's geek news in The Weekly Raid.
The Weekly Raid.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. It is time for The Weekly Raid, your roundup of this week's geek news. Kicking things off this week, Mike Flanagan of Haunting of Hill House and Fall of the House of Usher fame is coming back to do another Stephen King adaptation. Flanagan is going to be adapting the book The Life of Chuck, and I'm just going to give you some of the cast. Yeah. So let's just talk about that.
All right.
We got Karen Gillan, Matthew Lillard.
Excellent.
Molly C. Quinn, Raul Coley, Mia Sara, Kate Siegel, Mark Hamill, Tom Hiddleston.
Jesus Christ.
That's a third of the cast, by the way. The cast keeps going, and it's even more. It's just famous people. He got everybody to come and do the Stephen King adaptation. This might be one of the greatest works of cinema ever.
Yeah.
He talked a little bit about the story, if you've never read it, that it's going to be very much in the vein of Stand By Me, The Green Mile, The Shawshank Redemption.
Right.
That's the vibe that we're going to be going with this movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, my reaction is like when and where, like I'll show up for it. Sounds amazing. I can't wait to see this and all those amazing people, as well as Mike Flanagan's wife.
Yep.
Who is in everything he makes for good reason. She's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Up next, Diablo Cody, who created the cult hit Jennifer's Body, and Zelda Williams, who is Robin Williams' daughter, have released a trailer for their upcoming film called Lisa Frankenstein. This film takes place in 1989 and retells the Frankenstein story with like a neon Lisa Frank inspired aesthetic. The quote of it is that it's a coming of rage love story about a misunderstood teenager and her high school crush who happens to be a handsome corpse. After a set of playfully horrific circumstances to bring him back to life, the two embark on a murderous journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts along the way.
Honestly, it sounds exactly like something Diablo Cody would make, like all the way. Yeah. I mean, I'm here for it. Sounds good.
Love it. James Wan's studio, Atomic Monster, has been tapped to do a live-action version of the Disney animated series Gargoyles. And boy, do I have feelings about this news.
Okay. So, I want more Gargoyles. Like, everyone who's ever watched Gargoyles. I'm not sure I want it like this.
Right.
So, please tell me the last, if any, 3D, sorry, not 3D, live action adaptation of a Disney property that anyone loved / liked.
As far as I know, none of them.
Yeah, they've all been pretty terrible, pretty misguided, pretty much, why do we have this? Why did we make it? And we know why we made them. If someone puts a movie called The Lion King in theaters by Disney, lots of people go watch it. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
Right.
Same with The Jungle Book. Same with The Little Mermaid recently.
Mm-hmm.
Those movies weren't good. Beauty and the Beast, excellent example. Those movies weren't good. Mm-hmm. They were pale, ghost-like fucking apparitions of the original works because... And I can't say this enough, and Del Toro said it at the Oscars, animation is cinema, not genre. It is fucking cinematography. And those fucking cartoons, if I could be so crass, had better cinematography, pacing, writing, and fucking voice acting than the live adaptations could dream of having.
Mm-hmm.
So I as much as I love James Wan, he's not... like a giant Gargoyles fan who's saying, I can't wait to work on this. It's like from the studio of James Wan.
Right.
I just make more of the cartoon. Pay Keith David every cent.
Why is it so hard to just make more of the cartoon?
Every cent that he's worth and make more of the cartoon. man. Like, that's what's good. I don't know what we're going to do with a live-action adaptation of Gargoyles, because I don't
care.
It
sounds way too expensive. God, it sounds like it's going to be bad. Like, you can't, you're not going to be able to cast the voice actors in their roles, because yeah, they're all old, so old, they can't play Goliath.
Right, I can't, like, even if Keith David could sit around in full-body makeup for days at a time playing Goliath, like... Like, that's not going to happen, and whoever does the voice, whoever plays Goliath is probably going to be his voice, and no thank you.
Right.
It's Keith David or nothing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so...
And you've said it all, like, that's exactly how I feel about it. I'm just, why are we doing a live action of this?
Yeah.
Just do the cartoon.
It feels like, I don't know, like, if you really wanted, like, a thing that you had when you were a kid, so you decided to, like, remake that thing with different kinds of parts...
Mm-hmm.
And it was just worse and uglier and more expensive, and there was no reason for it.
Yep.
Because that's literally
it
what we're doing.
It makes me sad inside is what it does, Hector. It
yeah.
makes me sad inside.
I can't imagine a world in which this is as good as the cartoon. I really can't.
There's just, I mean, please prove me wrong.
Oh, God, yeah.
But
like,
staring
great,
down the
awesome.
Barrel of this news, I'm like, please don't. Please don't ruin my childhood.
Yeah, like, why are we, I don't know. If we wanted to make more of the cartoon, you could say something like getting kids back into Gargoyles. But, like, who is a live action adaptation of Gargoyles for? All the people who grew up watching it.
Right.
What do they want? Not this.
No.
Not this at all.
No, if, like, they want to introduce their kids to Gargoyles, they want to just put on the show for them and be like, here's a cartoon that I liked when I was a kid.
Yeah. Ah, oh, God. Yeah, this feels incredibly misguided and, like, something destined to fail. I would honestly be surprised if they finished it and it hit theaters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
completely
agree. If we get that news and it's going to come out, I'll say, hey, I was wrong. They actually finished making
it. They'll probably just send it out to streaming to die and not like give it an announcement at that point.
Right. Like, zero advertisement, not even make a trailer.
Right. And it's just like, that's so disappointing because Gargoyles is such a beloved franchise.
Yeah.
And when people started hearing the rumors, oh, they're bringing it back, everybody got excited, but I saw posts for days. I was like, oh, yeah. My God, Disney might be bringing back Gargoyles. And then the news hit, it's going to be live action. And it's like, you could just hear the air leave the room.
Oh, yeah. Like someone just sat on a whoopee cushion. Mm-hmm. Like straight up, just awful. But yeah.
All right.
Way to take the air out of the sails.
Right? Let's head over to Game Talk. So we at least need to mention that the Microsoft purchase of Activision Blizzard is finally complete.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. No more.
Yeah, we can kind of we can stop talking about it happening because it's happened.
Right. The head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, says that they are, quote, all in on revising old Activision Blizzard franchises.
Good.
So, I mean, there's a ton of stuff here. When we say Activision Blizzard franchises, we are talking StarCraft, of course. We've got things like, Heroes of the Storm got an update.
Right.
Weird. What, I don't know what age we live in, but Heroes of the Storm got a PTR update this week, and it was like, what the heck? Other things that Activision Blizzard own, there's even niche titles like Blackthorn, the Three Vikings, StarCraft.
Yep.
There are tons of things. Hexen. Right? The old, like, first-person shooter Hexen that was, like, done in Doom Engine. That is a thing that Activision Blizzard owns that Microsoft has now.
Yeah. I mean, those are all Blizzard properties. So I, like, sat here to be like, hey, what are, like, some Activision properties? It's just Call of Duty.
It's mostly Call of Duty.
It's literally all Call of Duty. They could bring back Prototype. Prototype was cool. Maybe, like, some more Crash Bandicoot or Spyro. Fucking Activision is, like, oh, God. This is the worst fucking purchase. God damn it. I really hope they do a lot of good for Blizzard. Blizzard is what we wanted them at Microsoft to get their hands on.
Yep.
But really what they did is they paid for Call of Duty. And the very second that Call of Duty tanks, I've been saying this all week, like, the more I think about it, the more I think Microsoft is really going to regret this purchase. I don't think Call of Duty will be around forever. And
we were having a discussion about this outside of the show, and it was this idea of, like, even as somebody who doesn't play the Call of Duty games anymore, and even back in the day when I played them, I was only playing them because my friends were playing them.
Right.
I was at least fairly self-aware of what the upcoming Call of Duty game was. It was there was a commercial, or this is a Modern Warfare year, or this is a Treyarch year. Yeah. Like, I was always cognizant of where we were in the Call of Duty timeline. I want to say for the last couple of years, I haven't seen hide nor hair of things Call of Duty related that weren't the mobile game and the online free-to-play game.
Right. So, yeah.
So,
yeah, these games are getting, like, less and less popular by the year, and 1 year, they're going to fall off a cliff. This is exactly the same thing that Steven Spielberg said when they asked him if he thought Marvel movies was the death of the movie. He's like, no, it's a phase. They're projects.
Yeah.
Three or four of them in a row will tank at the box office, and Hollywood will change again. It changes all the time.
Right.
This is, I feel like we're on the back end of the Call of Duty phase.
Right.
And I, like, as much as I love that Microsoft now has Blizzard, like $80 billion or whatever it was, like, I don't know. It kind of hurts my soul a little bit when I think about how much money that is.
That much money.
Yeah. But you know what? It is over and it's done. And now all we have to do is sit back and hope that Microsoft just, you know, makes good on these franchises.
It's true. One bit of news that I didn't put in my notes, but it is an important thing to note, especially those of you who have been on the Activision Blizzard journey with us for the last, God, I don't know, we've aged a bazillion years since it all started. Bobby Kotick, he's going to be gone beginning of 2024. The bastard incarnate himself, Mr. Bobby Kotick, will be stepping away after he's collected his fat fucking paycheck.
Yep.
And walking away from Activision Blizzard, hopefully to never be heard of again.
Yeah, ding dong, the bitch is dead. Fuck that guy forever. Yeah, I hope something bad happens to him. Yep. He's a terrible human being. And
he allowed terrible things to happen.
Oh, yeah. And did terrible things himself. So I am glad he's going away and I won't have to think about him anymore while I enjoy video games.
Right. Let's see here. Oh, Devolver Digital has announced that it's making a significant donation to the United Nations Relief Works Agency for Palestinian Aid and is actively encouraging other studios to do the same.
Based. I fucking love this. This is fantastic. Good on them. Please donate.
If you're confused
to end human suffering.
Because of the amount of news that's coming across your Twitter timeline as to whether or not you should be rooting for Israel or Palestine, just look at what Devolver Digital is doing and follow that.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to like learn anything, just do what they're doing. They're generally a very good company and they're just trying to help people who need help. So,
Let's see here. We only got a few more news items for the week, and then we can head into the main topic. But Doug Bowser, the head of Nintendo of America, believes that Nintendo of America has done such a good job at being inclusive and securing proper work-life balance that their employees do not want to unionize, and unionizing is not something being talked about at their company.
Yeah. I don't know. So first of all, just like in an excellent effort to live up to his name as Bowser. here he is saying like, my employees don't need a union. They're too happy. Yeah. It's not the sad employees who form unions. It's the smart employees who form unions. Mm-hmm. The ones who know the power of their labor and what it is worth. And the fact that the company that controls how much they make when they are separate, has all the power in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you can say, no, we're the good global conglomerate of like franchise holdings and fucking whatever, you don't have to be good forever. Mm-hmm. No one's going to make you be good forever. And if you decide to be evil, you just will. And no one can stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're all of your laborers who make the shit you make money off of get together and say, so if you mistreat one of us, we're all going to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Tank one of our pay, we're all going to walk. Tank one of our fucking health insurance policies, we're all going to walk. So the collective work that we do, that is what powers this entire machine, is us, not you. And you need to know that before we continue to do business. It's that simple. It doesn't take a sad employee to do that. It takes an employee that, you know, wants to look out for themselves, which every employee should, including, and by the sounds of it, especially the ones at Nintendo.
Yeah.
If Doug Bowser wanted to prove to me that his employees didn't need a union, he would show me how all of them make like 20, 30, 50% above market rate for their job. How they all have pension retirement programs so that when they're done working 20 to 25 years for Nintendo, which you will make happen, mm-hmm. that they get to retire with that same paycheck for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Show me that. Show it to me in writing. And not only will I say, you know what? Doug Bowser is right. His employees don't need a union, but I'll go try my fucking damnedest to work for Nintendo. I will absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I would like to believe that there's a reality where they are. Everybody at Nintendo is so well taken care of that the idea of a union to them is an alien concept.
Yep.
But let me tell you something: the people that should not be talking about whether or not to form a union should not be the people at the top.
Yeah,
that's just
straight up. The only answer you should give of all the horrible things that have happened in and around and from this man, the only answer you should ever give is the Bill Gates answer is, hey, do you think the workers at your company want to unionize? And he said, well, that's really up to them.
Yep.
And
that was Phil Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the head of Xbox.
That's really up to them.
Yep.
Yeah, if they want to, if unionization is something they seek, cool. If not, cool.
It's, yep, all you know those things.
That's neither here nor there when it comes to me.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
All right, a couple more news items. These are all some... the first one is a bit weird, so let's strap in for this one. Sony's going to start selling an optional Blu-ray disc drive that's meant to be used in conjunction with their upcoming slim PS5 model because it doesn't have a disc drive.
Right.
So they're going to sell one that you can use. But... the internet got really weird about this news when it came out this week because they found out that when this optional Blu-ray drive that you can plug into your PlayStation, the very first time that you connect it, it will require you to be online for that first connection so they can download all the drivers and things that it needs to run.
So people, I
cross-referenced multiple articles as I often do, and multiple news outlets, all the headlines read, Sony's optical drive requires an online connection. And I'm like, what? Why is this a headline? Why is this a news item that people give a shit about that the optional Blu-ray player requires a 30-second connection to the internet to get a driver so that it can just function?
You know what never happens? You know what never ever happens is when, say for example, Logitech puts out some kind of really cool new webcam.
Yeah,
you know what? And you buy it and you bring it home for your computer and you plug it in and it's like, hey, I'm going to need you to download this driver.
Yep.
And then Windows does it for you and it installs and it's over.
Yep.
There are no headlines about that.
There are zero headlines about
this. I don't know how to tell everyone that a PlayStation 5 is a computer,
mm-hmm.
much like an Xbox and much like a Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking computer. And if you're going to put hardware on it, it needs drivers. Drivers come from the internet. Like, I know that there was a time when consoles were disc-playing machines that put in discs. And it might have been controversial to say that your PlayStation 3 has to have an internet connection to play Devil May Cry 4 on the first day because it needs to download a 1 gig patch. It's like, oh, that's going to be rough for people in the country without internet connection. That's not a thing anymore. No one considers the lives of anyone without an internet connection anymore. It's not important. If you don't have an internet connection, you are likely homeless, and you have bigger problems than whether or not the disk drive on your new slim PS5 it can work right out of the box.
Right.
What is everyone mad at? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's like we needed something for the week to be angry about, I guess that was it.
Like there was a, like, yeah, again, like, this feels like such an old, like, type of headline that, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I absolutely.
When you install hardware onto a computer, it often needs drivers.
Done. All right, final news for the week before we get into our main topic. Marvel's Spider-Man 2 has sold over 2.5 million copies within 24 hours to become the fastest-selling PlayStation Studios launch of all time.
Awesome. Deserves it. Yeah.
Just play Spider-Man.
Yeah, just play Spider-Man 2. Well, yep. If you haven't, play Spider-Man 1 and then Miles Morales and then Spider-Man and then 2. And you are in for an amazing time.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
If you've never played those games, I'm jealous that you get to play them for the first time.
Yeah, because I can't wait to play Spider-Man 2 for the second time. Yeah. Like, as soon as like there's some DLC or something, oh, yeah. I am right back in.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. Glad I bought it day one. Glad I binged it in a long weekend. Like, mm-hmm. It's just fantastic.
Worth all the time.
Yeah. I bet it sells even more by the end of next weekend.
Yep. Yeah. All right. That's everything that we have for the news this week. But stick with us, because when we come back from our break, we'll be going into our main topic in the Boss Room.
Boss Room.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Boss Room, our main topic for the week. Sometimes related to the news, sometimes not. This week, we are going to dive into the Disney Plus Ahsoka series. So let's get right to it. But just so we have it said, spoilers are ahead for what we are about to fucking talk about.
Talking about the whole goddamn show.
Hector, let's talk about Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
Let's talk about it. I have feelings.
Yeah, so I don't know what show you watched. I didn't watch any Ahsoka at all. I watched Rebels Season 5, and it was fucking fantastic. Yeah, Ahsoka was there, and it was cool. I love it when she's along for the ride, when the Rebels are out doing their thing. Those are some of the best episodes.
Yep.
I was really glad to have her there.
Yep.
But, yeah, I watched Rebel Season 5. I don't know what the fuck everyone else watched. And I loved every second of it. Like, there was
so I'm going to get into that real quick. I do want to get into that, because this is a tough topic for a lot of people. There are many, many people, and we've even sometimes said it ourselves, that series tend to, not always, but tend to need to be accessible to the general audience, mm-hmm. right? Somebody jumps into The Mandalorian. You don't really want them to have seen 5 million Star Wars to see The Mandalorian, right? And that changed in the later seasons. They did require you to do a little bit of homework, but at that point, you're like 2 seasons of Mando in.
Yep.
If you liked it that much, maybe you want to do a little homework. Ahsoka came out, and there were mixed feelings about it. There were a lot of people that were like, wait, why don't I understand any of what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? And then other people being like, oh, yes, this is the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And not every series needs to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that.
Absolutely.
And this one was definitely one that prior to it coming out, I had actual people ask me, like, is there any homework for this one? And I'm like, oh, there's an entire series of homework that you need to do. Like, one whole series, 4 seasons, animated, that you need to do homework on for this one.
Yeah, and you're lucky we're only giving you one, because we could give you more. There are 2 whole shows we could have you watch.
Yep.
That lead up to the events in this.
Let's get into the next topic for Ahsoka, the casting. How did you feel about the casting of the show?
Well, so we've known since, I think, Mando Season 2 about Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. Yep. This is an absolutely fantastic casting choice.
Yep.
I love her in literally everything she's ever done. Mm-hmm. I think the first movie I ever saw her in was fucking Kids, man. Like, that is
a deep cut.
Yeah, like, that is that's like how long she's been acting and how long I've been completely in love with this actress. Just her fucking talent. She's fearless. She's, like, fiery. She's awesome and everything. She's great. Even when she's like being meek and cute, she's amazing. Like I everything. She made She made Clerks 2 worth watching. Think about
just
that.
Just by Rosario Dawson.
Just by her being there, Clerks 2 was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can get on board with this. Like, that's, yeah, it's good shit. The excellent casting there. Now the ones that we didn't know about. Obviously, the casting for Sabine is, like,
so good.
Insanely spot on. Like, I was straight up looking at that going, like, oh, yeah, she's Sabine.
Yep.
Like, she just is. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's that character. And that character was 3D animated, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, and this human being looked exactly like her. Really didn't know what to say about that.
We had the voice of Thrawn playing Thrawn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
one of the Mikkelsen family was there playing Thrawn. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody casting-wise was excellent, and to make a joke out of it, the casting for Chopper was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can have a whole section on Chopper right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, getting to see Chopper in live action after having watched the animated series, and here's the thing about Rebels, if you've never seen it. It is easy for a lot of people, and I know we just had this discussion in the news section, to look at something like Rebels and go, well, that's an animated show. That is for kids.
Yep.
And Dave Filoni baited you, all of you, because it's like a kid's show for like the first half of the first season.
Yeah.
It is not a kid's show after that.
After that, it becomes a show about war.
Yeah.
And actual rebels. Rebel insurgents fighting an actual fascist government. That's what this show is about. Mm. And it's excellent. But while we were talking about casting, I mean, there's like, God, there's so much to talk about. Obviously, Ivana, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, Sakono. I've never heard of you before, but she was Hati.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Oh, yeah.
The entire internet sentiment was like, I can fix her. Like, she literally plays a Sith, and everyone's like, oh, but can I take her?
The three of us were like sitting on the couch together. She popped up on the screen and I was just like, oh, I could fix her. And then like the next day we checked the memes online and everybody was just making I can fix her memes. And I was like, well, I wasn't alone in that one. All right, moving on from there.
Yup. Fucking Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Hera.
Base.
This is fucking excellent casting. This is such good casting. Mm-hmm. And like, I heard a lot of people say that like it didn't really feel like Hera, and the more I thought about it, is like Hera is a character of action, not a character of personality.
Right.
So there's not really a lot to cling on to when it comes to be like this character feels like Hera. Mm-hmm. But Winstead came in and did the acting like a very confident, strong woman who is now the general of an entire army.
Yep,
just like doing her fucking thing, and that was excellent casting.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the, you know, let's look at her butt memes. Yeah, I'm there. I'm there with you.
We had the OG Anakin Skywalker back.
Oh, fucking Hayden Christensen killing it.
Came back to reprise his role. Keep in mind, if you were unaware of internet culture, good, stay away from the internet.
Yeah.
But back in the day, Hayden Christensen was one of many Star Wars actors that basically like stopped doing what he did, he loved to do, which was acting, because the amount of vitriol that came from the Star Wars fan base. This is why I like Star Wars. I hate Star Wars fans. They're fucking horrible.
Yeah. The big sentiment around it, sentiment around it was that Hayden Christensen can act, much like the little kid from Star Wars who can act, much like, I don't know, fucking Ewan McGregor, I guess, can act, and Liam Neeson, I guess, can act. The problem was the dialogue. The problem was the script. George Lucas can't write dialogue or scripts.
Right.
Sorry. Everyone knows
this.
It is
a fact.
Hayden Christensen in this show, written by a bunch of really excellent writers, including Dave Filoni, suddenly everyone's like, man, he's a good actor. Where's he been at? He ran away from all of you.
Yep. You did this.
He could have had a massive career. He could have been the fucking Han Solo of Star Wars, but he became the Mark Hamill, relegated into fucking voice acting for most of his career until people were like, oh, that guy rules. Yeah, what happened to his career? Star Wars. Star Wars happened to his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything about the casting was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we have to mention Ray Stevenson before we move on.
We should do that.
Yeah. Ray Stevenson passed away slightly before the airing of the first episode of Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Stevenson, I have loved with my whole heart, going all the way back to Rome, the HBO series, which was a long, long time ago. Starring alongside Kevin McKidd and a bunch of other great actors, and a really excellent show. If you have HBO Max, check it out. Show fucking rules. But loved him ever since then. He's been in so much since. He's one of those actors where like you can't help but recognize his face and voice, even if you've never taken the time to learn his name. You're like, oh, he's in this? This is going to be good. He's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he really broke out in this role. He was everyone's favorite. He was well acted. He was stoic. He was wise. He played the perfect like fucking Jedi heel turn, like fucking, you know, Sith master, whatever you want to call him. He was so fucking good. And it is so sad to know that he didn't get to see how much everyone loved him in this. But yeah, fucking to a legend, man.
Because yeah, his career is excellent. To a legend. And that's yeah. And that was the tragedy of it, is that no, and it was the general sentiment online at the time was he never got to see how much people loved him for what he brought to Star Wars. Like, my fucking heart. There is a small group of people online who really would like to see that character portrayed in maybe like the Star Wars Legend shows, so we could see a little bit more of him.
Oh yeah, would love that.
You know, mm-hmm. But yeah, just absolutely fantastic casting for that.
I would love to see a story written about that character where he like is a young Jedi and grows up into this character. Mm-hmm. You know.
So yeah, that's the casting. Let's move on to the story. How did we feel about the story of Ahsoka?
Story of Ahsoka feels like, how do I say this without sounding like I'm being shitty? The story of Ahsoka from episodes 1 through 8 feels like the first half of a great book.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. The show is very good. Don't get me wrong. I loved a lot of it. I do have my gripes here and there, not with much, but you know, I guess small things that come from it being a TV show rather than a movie. But it feels like the ending, which is basically not exactly a cliffhanger, because the story is kind of... No, it's kind of a fucking cliffhanger now. Yeah, it's
absolutely a cliffhanger.
Like, we sat through 8 episodes to get like, oh shit, now it's really about to pop off. We sat through 8 episodes
to get to Ezra.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. We got Ezra at like the end of episode 7, and he was in a lot of episode 8. And then like
roll
now,
credits.
Now Thrawn is back in the actual galaxy with the Empire and shit. Credits. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like, why'd you stop here?
Yeah.
So this feels like half a story. I feel like I got across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. You know? I feel very like if there's a, I don't know, pop culture visual equivalent of being teased or something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I felt the same way about Nocturne, by the way. This feels like it's becoming kind of a trend.
Yeah.
Where
your first Castlevania episode... Nocturne really felt like, oh yeah, I watched that whole season. And really it's about season 2. That's what we really want a season 2.
Exactly. So yeah. Story overall, I thought it was great to bring Ahsoka back. I thought it was great to give her the arc they gave her. Mm-hmm. Because Ezra got his at the end of Rebels, right? Mm-hmm. He got his whole, like, becoming the Jedi he was meant to be and, like, coming into his own with the loss of his master. And it was really, really good stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Ahsoka was that she never got that arc. She just kept getting hurt and kept getting hurt and kept having to like fight like the for her life. And so we find her and she's like a little less lively and a little more quiet and a little bit more like, man, life really kicked her around. And the internet was
really quick to attack Rosario Dawson's acting. They're like, well, it's the actress's fault. She's not bringing the livelihood to the character that it deserves.
Right.
All this other shit. And then it was around like episode like 4 or 5, like the character breaks and starts to laugh and make jokes because there's a lightness to the situation that's happening. And everybody went, oh, we just had to wait for it to happen.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
It's almost like a character arc is happening. It's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, there's...
this is why I hate Star Wars fans.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lack of patience in people with humanizing your characters these days. Mm. Like, which is funny because I feel like the same people who complain about, like, everything's lasers and everything's CG and everything's shiny and messy and, like, nothing gets time to breathe. Then when things get time to breathe, they're like, this is boring, stop it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Star Wars fans, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like the character, it did lighten up. There was fun things that did happen to her. Story wise, like you said, it really did feel like this was the beginning part of what's coming next. Mm-hmm. It was very much heavily focused on the Rebels, which I was fine with just because I really loved that show so much. I think that we'll get a little bit more Ahsoka focus in the back half in the next season of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, I'm here for the whole cast. Like, I don't need more Ahsoka in my Ahsoka show. I think we have just the right amount of Ahsoka in the Ahsoka show because I still want Hera. I still want Sabine. Now we have Ezra back. I really want some Ezra. I want to know what he's been fucking cooking up living on that planet for the last, like, empire destruction.
Yep.
He lived through an entire... He lived there through two Death Stars.
Yeah. There is so much really... There's these great moments in Ahsoka where, like, when they catch up both Thrawn and Ezra as to everything that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, the look on Thrawn's face when he figures out who Ahsoka's master was.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Fuck. Anakin Skywalker. Yeah.
How dangerous are they? Okay.
Yeah, like literally his line is, are you sure she's flying in alone?
Yeah.
Because there is like literally that's a line taken from like a previous encounter that he had with Anakin Skywalker where he had brought reinforcements without him knowing. There was the line where like Sabine and Ezra are like sitting in the fucking little transport and she's just explaining what has happened to the Empire. Yeah. She's like, yeah, they say that the Emperor's dead.
Yeah, that is what they say.
That is what they say.
Somehow
Palpatine returned.
Oh, get fucked.
So there was the catch up on all that stuff that was really great. The Night Sisters story in Ahsoka was so good.
Yeah, it was very cool. It's our first live action Night Sisters.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was very cool. I want to see, because fucking Jedi Survivor did it already, I want to see some good Night Sisters. And but you know, I mean Night Sisters that aren't bad guys. I want to see the other side of that coin already. Yep. We need some of that in our lives. If we're going to do like live action Night Sisters, we need some good ones, I think. Because like, it's such a cool fucking like thing to add into the universe.
Yeah. We had some cool new characters like Enoch was a stormtrooper.
Oh yeah.
Played by a really great actor. You had no idea was under that mask.
Yeah. Fucking Wes Chatham, who we all know from
The Expanse.
The Expanse. Yeah. Yeah. Just wearing a helmet. For like,
and everybody saw that character and they're like, I want that character now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that character is my new best friend. Every scene he's in is my favorite scene. Tell me more about the guy under that badass helmet.
Yeah, I have a friend who's really into the 3D printing community. And apparently, like, the day after that episode aired, it was, like, off to the races to, like, get models made of that helmet so that they could print it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, that's how popular that character was. Yeah, I mean, all around, Ahsoka was just, it was a very solid show.
Yeah.
My complaints were few and far in between, really. Mm-hmm. It had everything that I wanted, and I'm normally the first one to go. Star Wars shows that are all about lightsabers bore me. This one did not.
Right. Because, and that's the thing is, like, Ahsoka could have been very much a show that was all about lightsaber fights in the same way that Boba Fett was all about blaster fights.
Right.
But it wasn't. They had, like, character building and, like, you know, quiet moments and, like, good shit that Star Wars needs. They let the show be the show, and they still did have lightsaber fights and very cool ones and ones that you weren't expecting and ones that you were. And they played them all the way Star Wars always plays them. It's just, it's good stuff. As far as, like, action goes, I thought it was good. It was well made as far as, it's just... It's Star Wars, man. Like I've been watching it since I was 5 years old, and this felt like really good Star Wars.
It really
did. We've all seen very bad Star Wars. So, like, yeah.
This was nice. It felt like coming home a little bit.
It did. I mean, it's not Andor, but I don't know if anything ever will be except for Andor 2. Right. Like, and I don't want everything to be Andor. I really don't.
Because that's a really dark show.
Yeah, that is a show that is, you know, that's not a fun show, as I would put it. I loved watching it. I loved everything about it. I could write and read essays about that show. But if every Star Wars was Andor, Star Wars wouldn't be any fun. And Star Wars is supposed to be fun. And that's why it's so interesting when it's not. That's why Andor was good. But you can't make them all that way.
True.
This felt like good new Star Wars. And that's nice. Kind of like we've been talking lately about how Marvel has gone through a bit of a slump. Mm-hmm. And then when we got Guardians 3, it's like finally some delicious fucking food. Yeah. This feels like not like old Marvel, but like new, good new Marvel. Mm-hmm. This felt like good new Star Wars.
Coming into, we haven't talked about it because we're not getting into spoilers, but we watched Loki season two.
Oh yeah, we're in the middle of watching Loki season two, and it's been very, and it's very
just
good.
Like, oh God, I forgot, because we just came out of watching Secret Invasion. Yeah. And we're like, oh God, I forgot that Marvel used to be a lot of fun and good.
Yeah.
Here we are. Thank you for that, Marvel.
I'm glad we have a good show right away.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the big question before we wrap this whole thing up, now that we know where we are with the characters, Ezra has been separated from the crew again. We have people that are, you know, stranded on this island in a galaxy literally far, far away.
Yeah. Literally outside of travel distance of starfighters. Mm-hmm. Like you need to hop a whale.
Yep.
To get back to the actual galaxy.
What do you want for season two of Ahsoka?
I want, you know what I want to see in live action? And it's funny because the thing that I really want to see in live action Star Wars has nothing to do with like action or lasers or lightsabers. I want to watch Thrawn fucking cook.
Right.
That's what I want from Ahsoka season two. I want everyone who barely knows or doesn't know at all who Thrawn is to watch him fucking wreak havoc the way that only Thrawn can.
Right.
To watch him have plans 5, 6, 7 layers deep and to be able to get himself out of shit and to be the incredibly competent fucking being that he is. Mm-hmm. Because we got small bits of it in this, but like it could be so, so much more advanced. And I know that Filoni wants to do that too, because this is his sandbox and these are his toys. So like that's what I want most. And I know there's a lot you can say about like different characters and different actors, and I'm sure all that'll be in there. It'll be sprinkled out. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. I trust all of that to happen. What I want to come away from that show being impressed by Thrawn. I want to be like, God damn, that guy's a master. That guy is intimidating.
You want to like walk away from that like you did at the end of Endgame.
Right. It's like, Infinity War.
Yeah, or Infinity War. Yeah. Like, oh God, like that's...
It's like, fuck.
Terrifying.
He did it. Yeah. Like, oh my God. There was this... We kept talking before Spider-Man 2 came out about like, really, Kraven? Like Kraven?
Right.
Like this guy? And we played the game and like, absolutely zero spoilers if you're still in it. Kraven? Very cool. Very intimidating. Villain in that game.
They do a really good job with him.
Yeah, Kraven rules in Spider-Man 2. And like Thrawn needs to fucking rule in this. I need to come away being like, yo, this guy's intimidating. It's kind of spooky just to like have characters in the room with him because you don't know what he's going to fucking do. And it's not like, and it won't be a fucking sudden burst of violence. It will be a chess game you didn't know you were playing. And he's on the top tier because it's 4D chess.
Yep.
And like, you didn't even know you were like, had pieces on the board. Like this is what we need from a good Thrawn depiction. And that's what I want for season two of Ahsoka. Yep. It's more Thrawn.
I need the crew to get back together. It was cute that we left them separate. Yeah, get the crew back together. I need more Chopper. Mm-hmm. Like guys, you were light on the Chopper content.
Yeah.
Like, you know the world's most amazing war criminal who has the highest kill count in all of Star Wars.
Oh, by a lot.
By, like, so much.
Yeah, he's a higher kill count than the Death Star.
Right.
Like, by a lot.
Yeah, it's like, we need more Chopper. Like, just more Chopper in my life, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really just need some more time with the characters. And I need, and when I say I need more time with the characters, I don't need more time with them with pew-pew time. I need with them, like, having dinner time.
Yeah.
Like, I need them to sit around and talk and catch up. And I want to see how these actors who have done so great at representing these ostensibly cartoons originally really humanize these characters and make them feel real and make their world feel lived in and make me ready for whatever's going to happen next. Because part two will probably end in some kind of tragedy, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how we do. I mean, if we get 3 seasons of Ahsoka, yeah, I expect season 2 to be rough.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to be a wild adventure. And I hope that I do come away from season 2 feeling a little bit more fulfilled than I did in season 1.
Right. Yeah. Season 1 felt so, like, it was the last episode particularly that felt like we were just getting rolling, you know, like this is a setup to the real show.
I know this is a weird analogy before it, but it's just like a really good like tapas. The kind where you have it and you're like, but I want more of that.
A fucking amuse-bouche.
Yeah, and you're just like, but why is there not more of this?
Yeah. I was like, can we have more of this? It's like, no, the main course is coming. It's like, but
But that,
like, this was really good though.
Yeah. And I just, and the one thing that I really want out of fucking Ahsoka season two is for Star Wars fans to calm their fucking tits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, straight up. Like if Star Wars fans could all just be happy that we live in this amazing golden age of Star Wars.
Like, could we just, like...
Yeah, like this feels like the very beginning of the Marvel Universe, where it's like, we had, like, a Kevin Feige, and, you know, we were rolling up on, like, the first Avengers movie, and it's like, man, this is going... Like we're really doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I feel. And like, that's how we should be looking at this. The fact that we can, like, fawn over Marvel movies, at their inception, you know, in the 2008 to 2012 of it all. Mm-hmm. And then, but Marvel fans are like, I can't believe we're getting this. This is so good. Please give us more. And Star Wars fans are picking everything to death. Mm-hmm. Like, that they can, like they do. And... granted, there, like I said earlier, there has been some very bad Star Wars, but y'all need to, like, give it a second and let it become the thing rather than just saying automatic crap.
Yeah,
I hate it. Oh wait, no, this is good. Later, y'all look like fools. Like, give it a second.
What was really hilarious for me during the Ahsoka, because I do follow, like, some online discourse. Like, every time there's an episode, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go watch so-and-so's, like, deeper evaluation of it.
Yeah.
And there was, like, 5 million videos of, like, who's the mysterious Sith that showed up? He wasn't anybody!
He wasn't anybody! You fan theory fucks. Just like, let the show be the show. If he was important, we would eventually have figured out who he was. And it would have been like, oh, cool. And, like, yeah. It's fun to theorize about it. It is,
absolutely. Don't get me wrong.
But then when he gets unceremoniously murdered by Ahsoka, you're like, oh, he was a red shirt.
Yeah.
Oh. Are all of your dreams crushed? Like, are you sure it was Starkiller?
Oh, the Starkiller ones. It was so good. There is something that I do want out of Ahsoka, and I know that I'm asking a lot of Star Wars by asking for this one simple thing, and I think this one's even bigger than Star Wars fans calming their tits. I want Cal Kestis to show up.
Oh.
Please cast this man in live action while he is still capable of doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He needs his own character in live action that matches the game. And I know that that can be difficult and there's like a time and a place to do it, but this feels like a good time and a place to do it.
Right. He's honestly on the outskirts of space. He could find a space whale. Give the man his poncho and a lightsaber.
Yep.
And bring him into the canon, baby.
Straight up. Please. All right. Do.
That is everything that we have to discuss about Ahsoka. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, if you watched it, if you liked it, if you didn't like it, tell us what you didn't like about it so we can talk about that.
Yeah.
That's everything that we have for the show this week. Don't forget, you head over to goodnight.gg to become a patron of our show. You can head over to facebook.com/GNGGcast where you can chat with us, as well at GNGGcast on Twitter to talk to me. By the way, to our producer who is out this week, John, get better, my dude.
Please get better.
Sorry that you got the plague. Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And good game.